You've already made confession that you love the Word of God. Now, let me ask you again. Are you telling me the truth? Do you really love the Bible? Come on, more than three of you. Do you really love the Bible? This message this morning is called Fall in Love with the Word of God. Fall in Love with the Word of God. You know, we've been around church, many of us, for a long, long time. Been around church things. Done our church thing. But you know, what it all boils down to is an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And a living, ongoing, daily relationship with Him. And a living relationship with the Word of God. You understand, don't you, that the Bible is alive. Yes. Right? It's alive. Pick it up in your hands again. Do you know the blood of martyrs and the blood of saints throughout the generations has been spilled, and blood shed so that you can have that which you have in your hands right there. Jesus Christ died on a cross so you can have that which you have in your hands right there. The Word of God, it's true. It's His Word. Now, sometimes there may have been some copyists over the years who may have made a few mistakes. Are you ready for the latest one I just heard? I think this is really kind of cool. Now, I got to tell you about this. It doesn't mean the manuscript is wrong. It doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong. It means sometimes the copyists over the years got it wrong. You know, before the printing press came around, they had to copy these things painstakingly by hand. There is no other book in the face of the planet, no other book in history that's been copied so faithfully by so many for so many years. It's one of the proofs that the Bible is real, because they have manuscripts dating all the way back to 100 AD where it's the same as 20,000 different kind of manuscripts. There are 20,000 manuscripts of the Bible that are on hand from antiquity that demonstrate the Word of God being faithful and true. There is no other Bible like that. No other book like that at all anywhere. We're going to talk about some of that this morning. But the latest one, I think this is kind of fun, actually. We've been talking about the prophetic purposes of God. And we've been in the book of Revelation. Now, I like to preach mostly from what we call walk talk, walking every day, applying what we learn. But God's burden has been that we understand it's time to have our lamps full of oil and be ready. Are you ready to meet Jesus? You sure? Good. Are your lamps full of oil? Is your heart right with God? Are you ready to see Him face to face? You don't know if something's going to happen out here this afternoon when you leave this place. So you better make sure you're right with God. Amen? Amen. How many love Jesus? How many know He loves you? Yes. Amen. So, but this is pretty neat. We all have our thing, you know, about the specific part. You know, 666. It's the number of the number of the beast, the mark of the beast, you know. And what I talked about first before I ever talked about the mark of the beast was what? The mark of God. I'd far rather worry and concern myself with being stamped and imprinted on my forehead and my heart with the mark of God than I don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. I want to be marked by God. They found, just recently, a very ancient manuscript. All the wording is the same as that particular part in the book of Revelation. Only this manuscript has the number as, you know, the big thing, movies, books, 666. The number is actually 616. I just think that's kind of cute of the Lord. You know, once you get everything all figured out, God says, woohoo, I'm still in charge, I'm blowing it all away. But the book, the Bible, we may have a few copying errors, but there's never been such a powerful, life-giving book that the planet has ever seen. Nothing that can give you hope, nothing that can give you peace, nothing that can give you answers. Mark Twain said, I'm not so worried about what I don't understand about the Bible. It's what I do understand that concerns me. The Bible is a book of power, a book of life. It is a living text. And what I want to do is take a look at the Bible this morning. What's it all about? Do you know that what you believe determines how you live? If you think that no sweat, God's casual, God's comfortable, God likes me no matter how I am, it's no big deal, and it doesn't matter how I live, if you think that's what the Bible says, or what's easy for God, then that's how you live. How many understand that's not what the Bible says? Better not be comfortable in that kind of a position. But there is competition, folks, for the hearts and minds of men and women. Competition all around us. There is a reliable word, the word of truth. There is the Bible. How many understand there's not hope in politics? I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or Republican. It doesn't make any difference. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hope is in Him. Righteousness is in Him. His Word brings life. But there is more talk than ever. You can go on MySpace. You can blog. You can journal. You can do your entries. You can go to television. There's more channels than ever. How many have DirecTV or Dish Satellite? You know, more channels than ever and less to watch. More people talking than ever, saying less worthwhile. But there is competition in the marketplace for your mind. And there's competition in the marketplace for your heart. What is it you should really believe? What is it for which you should be persuaded? What really brings you hope? What really gives you answers? And I know you got questions, because if you're anything like me, you got plenty of questions with few answers. Come on, can you be honest with me? Anybody get agitated about anything this week? Anything? Anything? Okay. Finances. Let's see. House sales. You know, okay. Oh my gracious. But let me tell you one thing. I have to be honest enough to admit, when I really get my knickers in a bind, when I could say that differently, couldn't I? When I really get myself all twisted up in knots, I realize one thing. I'm looking to the world to give me an answer. And Jesus is the only one who can. My life is hidden in Christ, in God. That's what the Bible says. And guys, when I lose sight of that, are you anything like me? Your knickers get caught in a bind. There are no answers.
Shorts get torqued.
Shorts get torqued. That's a good one. Your shorts get torqued. In Jesus' name, amen. But the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Where can you find truth? Where can you buy it? What store can you get it from? Can you get it from a lottery ticket? I wish. Okay, I will go on. Can you get it from a pill or a joint? Can you get it from a bottle? Can you get it from music? Can you get it from sex? Can you get it, every sort of thing. You're all looking at me like, what did you try this week? Folks, the answer is right here. It's right here. There are more books written every year, but you know something? This is still the best-selling book of all time. Do you realize probably 30 million copies of the Bible are distributed to others every year? 30 million a year? Interesting. And if you really want to get people that don't like Jesus agitated, just bring up the Bible. You know, they can talk to you about Confucius says, and they can talk to you about their fortune cookie, they can talk about anything, but you bring up the Bible, it's over. Why? Because it's alive and it's powerful. Let's take a look at some scriptures, if you would please help me, Pat, this morning. We're going to go through quite a number of scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Are any young men in this church this morning? Come on, every hand up. There we go. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your what? Psalm 119, verse 11. Your, say it with me, word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verses 16 and 17. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Psalm 119, 41 through 42. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Then, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Somebody really want to know the hope within you, it's not going to be because you read the right horoscope this morning. It's not going to be because Farside was really hilarious this morning, though that may happen. The answer is in the Word of God. Psalm 119, I've got a bunch from there. Do you realize there's probably only a couple of verses out of all of the entire Psalm 119, 176 verses, that is not specifically about the Word of God? Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119, verse 140, "Your Word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." Verse 160, "The entirety of your word is what?" I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, church.
Truth.
It's truth. "And every one of your righteous judgment endures forever." Psalm 138, verse 2, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name." How many believe the name of God is important?
Yeah.
And His Word, He says, He magnifies above that. Wow. I guess it's more important than just sitting on a shelf collecting dust when the TV guide gets read more. Right? Looking at me like, "That's not me, Pastor Kev. Don't look at me." Magnified your word above all your name. Look at Jeremiah 15, verse 16. You know, the delightful thing, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet whose heart broke over the people of Israel and the judgments that were coming upon them because of their choices. But look at what he finds his delight in. "Your words were found, and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. When I get my knickers twisted into knots, and I know I'm looking to the world instead of to Jesus, I need to remember the joy and rejoicing of my heart is in Him and in His Word. For I'm called by Your name, O Lord God of hosts." Listen, I love this next one. Luke 1, verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to Your Word." Here was this 14 or 16-year-old girl, basically, who's just been told by an angel, "You're going to have the Messiah." She didn't get hung up on, wait a minute. The only thing she said was, "I've never known a man. How can this be?" And he says, "Hey, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you." And she goes, "Okay, praise God. Let it be to me according to your word." What a fantastic faith. Isn't that the way we should be before God? "Okay, Lord, fulfill your word in my life." John 17:17. "Sanctify them by your truth." Please read this next sentence out loud with me. "Your word is truth." Luke 11, verse 28. "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Acts 13:44. I love this next verse. I kind of enjoy them all, or I wouldn't be doing them with you here. But this next verse talks about what really should capture our attention. Okay, what captured your attention the last couple of weeks? 14,000 on the stock market. Then down. Then up. Okay, then sort of up. Then sort of down. How about the latest movie? What movies came out this week? Oh, okay. I have no idea. Okay. But what captured your attention? You know, you can go on the internet and you can see, you can click on anything and you got worlds and vistas open up to you. All sorts of things happen. But what's really cool is look at this verse. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. Now that's when the right kind of buzz is happening in a city. Wouldn't you love that to be the most important thing? Hey, you guys, let's go hear the Word of God taught. Man, this guy's saying something I didn't hear before. Let's go listen to, he's talking about the Bible. I think it's really interesting. There's classes that are taught over in South Bay, though they won't let us in for a church service. They teach classes on the Bible and people pay money to go hear Bible lessons taught. I have no idea whether they say anything true or not, but people will turn out. But church on Sunday morning? Well, you don't want to do that, do you? The whole city came together to hear the Word of God. That's powerful. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What? Is it important to go to church? Is it important to hear preaching and teaching? Absolutely. Faith comes by that hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When the Word of God is taught, God moves in as you listen, as you hear, and He opens your spirit for faith and for the next thing God's going to do in your life. Lord, what is it you're going to do? Hope begins to rise. Joy begins to rise. Direction begins to rise. I've got to go to the house of God when I am confused. Some people say, I'm not good enough to go to church. Hey, if you're a mess, that's when you go to church, just like all the rest of us. Look at each other at the table and say, praise God, I've been a mess just like you. But hope is in God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Turn to it in your own scriptures, if you would, please. Matthew, Mark, Thessalonians. And then we're gonna go over just a little bit farther to the book of Hebrews. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, profound verse. Now, I'm reading mostly from the New King James Bible this morning, and there are other translations or there are other Bibles in the back if you'd like to get one. If you don't have one, just make your need known if you need. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Our attitude is that's why you want to be in a Bible-believing church. When you go to church on Sunday morning, you prepare your heart and you say, Jesus, speak to me from your Word. I want to hear your Word. Speak to me. Let your Spirit speak to me. And let me understand. Let my eyes open, my ears open, my heart be open. Because, Lord, what I want most of all is to be conformed and changed into your image. I want to please you, so I want to live by your Word and craft it into my spirit. Bless that speaker. You can talk through a donkey, so talk through Pastor Kev, Lord. Bless him, but speak to us through the Word of God. All right, let's go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. The Bible is, church, a living book. Say, a living book. A living book. Hebrews 4, verse 12. We're going to read several different versions of this verse. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'll begin with the King James. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God... Are you there? It's quick. It's quick. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is a living book. Out of New King James, that phrase is, for the Word of God is living and powerful. Out of the NIV, the New International. For the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Out of the New American Standard Bible. Able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Well, my intentions were good. Really? Always? Well, you're quiet. Are you breathing? Okay, mine aren't always. You can all look at me and go, yeah, you're a bad man, Pastor Kev. We know that. So, not always. My intentions aren't always good. And the Lord lets me know that. Hebrews 4, verse 12, New Living. For the Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Whoa! That's powerful, isn't it? And you know what? We need to thank God that it does. Thank God that you don't leave us, Lord, as we are, but you keep working with us to change us. Isn't it better if somebody tells you the truth rather than just fluffs you? I could tell you three poems on Sunday morning, send you home, say they're there, or I could speak the Word of God here on Sunday morning. You tell me, which would you rather have? Okay? If I have a big honking thing on my shoulder here that doesn't look good, I would hope somebody would come up and say, not, you just look great, coat looks nice. I would hope somebody would walk up and say, you got a big honking thing on your shoulder there, buddy. That's truth. That helps me. Okay? Lovingly applied, please. But truth helps me. Living and active, able to discern the hearts of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Scripture is more than just words on a page. There's power, there's purpose. It changes those of us who read it. Church, that's why some people don't like to read the Bible. Because the Bible changes us. The Bible exposes what's really going on inside. Exposes us for who and what we really are. Motives are examined and revealed. And attitudes are manifest. And thoughts are shown for what they really are. And if you think you've got a great plan, just stop long enough and say, okay, how does it line up with the Word of God? I want to get back at that person. Wonder what the Lord would tell me in the Bible. I want to do this. Come to Him with an open heart and to His Word. Lord, make me conformed to Your image, to Your Word. All right, what does it mean? Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Okay, in the Greek, sharper is the word tomateros. And it means to cut by a single stroke. It's decisive. It's not a hacksaw taking away, but a very single, solitary slice right through to the heart of the matter. The Bible will do that. By a single stroke. Piercing to the sun, to the dividing, etc. It means to reach through or to penetrate. The Bible, the truth, the Word of God penetrates through to really show you what's going on inside. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this reason, again, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, you welcomed the Word of God, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. Do you believe the word of God is true? Okay. So then when you welcome it, you receive the Spirit of the Lord to work inside of you. Paul's grateful that those Thessalonians didn't reject him and his team. It effectively works. It's living. It's effective. It's effectual. It does something. If you understand every day when you read the Word of God, there's a cleansing. How many understand the Bible says we are washed by the water of the Word? There is a cleansing. You can have the worst day, and it's good for you at the end of your eve as well as at the beginning of your day to just read the Word for a while, even if it's one psalm you read, because it washes you clean from the dust of the world. Anybody pick up any dusty garbage along the way during the world during the day? You know, we're not monks in a monastery just sitting here touching our skulls. You know, I always thought that was weird anyway. Anyway, we're not just away, tucked away, not living life. We've got real life to live with real people, and some people aren't always pleasant. Come on, you can interact with me. Do you ever have any dealings with anyone not pleasant during a day?
Yeah.
I thought I was talking to the right group of people, okay? Pinch yourself. I'm alive. Oh, yes, that's me he's talking about. But what do we get? Washed by the water of the Word. And sometimes we just get to lay it down again at the end of the day and say, Lord, wash me clean from that spirit of the world. I want to be what you want me to be. And we're that way all day long, wanting to be what God wants us to be. But there's just that washing. This is a powerful, living, gripping Word where He begins to change you. Now, maybe you look at me and say, but Kevin, I didn't get big revelation. I go to the Word. I don't see any big, heavy stuff. That's okay. Sometimes for dinner, you eat hot dogs, like next Sunday, instead of steak. Sometimes when you go to the Word, you just feed from the Word something simple. Maybe it's a phrase. Maybe it's one verse. But it changes your heart. It's okay. It's a living and powerful, breathing, living book. And God turns the light on as we read it. This is the book that tells us about how we can be forgiven. This is the book that tells us how we're loved by God. This is the book that tells us about His story of redemption. This is the book that grips us with truth and changes our heart and our thinking. This is the book that tells us how to get along. Anybody ever need help getting along? The book that helps us do that. He turns the light on It's much more than a book of tales about a Jesus. It's truth in Him that changes our lives. The Bible's a living book. Okay, secondly, the Bible is a loving book. The Bible's a loving book. Let's take a look at some scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 47. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I, what?
Love.
Verse 72. The law of your mouth is better than me to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. It's better than all the bread somebody can lay on my table. It's better than my making big sales in real estate. It's better than my doing any other big thing. The Word of God is the treasure of life. Jesus has your treasure. Verse 97, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Jesus, you're more important to me than money, cars, houses, possessions, things. 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. 162, of Psalm 119. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Wow, did you see it? Did you see it? Wow, did you see that in the Word of God? You know, that's the way we were on Wednesday night, and we come together on Wednesday nights and on grace gathering nights, and we go through the Word and what the Lord's been speaking to us, and oh, over here on this page, and oh man, look at this, and this is great. And church, that's the way the Bible is to be to us. So we share the good news with each other. How many think you could do a better job of sharing good news with each other? You dirty, rotten sinners, you. No, this is, listen, guys, this is real life. How many believe you could probably be more encouraging to your spouse? Or to your kids? Or kids to your parents? Or, you know, how many believe you could? I know I could. Every hand up. And it's this that reminds me. Have you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden go, oh, dopey me. Yes, there it is. That's how I'm supposed to be. That's what it's like. Thank God for the Word. And it's a loving book. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Where do you learn about this Jesus? In His Word. Psalm 119, verse 162 that I skipped. I rejoice that your Word is one who finds great treasure. Okay, let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I love this verse. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Okay, let me see a show of hands again this morning. How many love Jesus? The Bible says you don't have any idea of the great things He's got planned for you. Now, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I'm glad you think so, Pastor Sherry. Isn't that cool? Come on, isn't there something you can get excited about this morning? Okay, anybody like me? You really like Christmas? Donnie, you like Christmas? What are you getting for me this year? No, I'm kidding. Okay, but you know, you got that anticipation thing going. You go, oh man, I wonder, it's my birthday. I wonder what you're going to get me. No, please don't. My birthday's coming up, so it's on September 3rd. Don't worry about it. But you know, I wonder what's going to happen. And oh gracious. And then the joy of opening it. And that's what it's like in the Word of God. Jesus has something for you. He's got something for me. And He says, you love me? Listen, I got treasure for you that you don't know anything about. Good stuff. Good things in mind. Great things in store. All because you have this love relationship with Jesus. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Excuse me. A loving book. This is where I find about the cross, about a death and a burial and a resurrection, where I find how He prays for me, how Romans 8:38-39 says, listen, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Kevin, why do you love this Jesus so much? Because He first loved me that much. What a great God. A living book. A loving book. Now I'm going to quickly go through some things that talk about how the Bible is a literal book. A literal book. Now sure, there are some things that are hard to understand. Some things are metaphorically understood, allegorically understood. You know, listen, you got to understand some things are metaphor. There's a scripture in the Psalms where it says, you know, I come to God under whose wings I have come to trust. That doesn't mean God's a bird. Okay, so a few things, you understand they're metaphors. But the best interpretation is the literal interpretation, first and foremost, when you're looking at the Scriptures. If all you do is spiritualize that interpretation, then you miss the meat of what is really there. That was a Scripture not just limited to that context, but to understand what was the context, what was the history, what was happening. This is a specific word on the heart of God to a specific people in a specific context. It applies to me too, but if I understand the why and what was going on, then I know how to apply it to my life also. But if I just try to spiritualize it away, then I don't get the full benefit out of the word. How many also understand the Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible? The Bible teaches you the Bible. You don't set one verse and get doctrine. You build doctrine on the propensity of the Word of God, on the preponderance of the Scripture. You put it together and you get a platform, the law of first mention, right on through interpretation of understanding, and several Scriptures together give you a platform of faith and practice. We build the Bible, or we have the Bible as our platform of all faith and practice. Say amen. Thank you for saying amen. But the Bible is the word of truth. Okay? But it's a literal book. There's literal understanding. We are called to understand the word and to experience the word. Understand it and apply it. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." The Bible says we are kings and priests to our God. And He wants us to search these things. Read the Bible daily. Search it out. What does it mean? People that don't believe the Bible is true miss the depth, the reality, and the meaning. People who think the Bible is a nice book of suggestions don't understand its truth, its reality, its veracity, its utter reliability. Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, my words shall not pass away." John 17, 17, "Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth." Now, let's just quickly go through some things. God said is in the opening of Genesis 9 times in the first chapter. God said. "Thus saith the Lord" is 23 times in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. So God said is from there, from the beginning, right through to the ending of the Old Testament. The Lord spoke is 560 times in the first 5 books of the Bible. At least 3,800 times, at least, in the whole Old Testament. Isaiah claims at least 40 times that his message came directly from God. Ezekiel at least 60 times, Jeremiah at least 100 times. Jesus quoted from 24 different Old Testament books. In the mid-1700s, Voltaire, who was one of the most prolific and influential writers of the day, held a copy of the Bible in his hand and stated that within 100 years of the time he was there standing and speaking, Christianity would be swept from existence and would pass into history. One of the humorous things that God does is what He did. 50 years after Voltaire's death, the Geneva Bible Society used Voltaire's house and his press to print and distribute stacks of Bibles. As a matter of fact, they made Voltaire's former house their headquarters. Now, what I want to ask you to do, we're talking about the Bible is true, a living book, a loving book, a literal book. Like, if people that scoff about the Bible, I want to urge you, okay, just go ahead and write a Bible. Just go ahead and write one yourself. I want you to do this. Now, you've got to do this in order to write a Bible. You have to find 40 different authors who are totally different, some highly educated, some doctors. Go get another couple of people off of a ranch somewhere, working cowboys if you want, and go get a couple of fishermen. And sit all these people down and have them write on religion, on poetry, on ethics, on science, on philosophy, on creation of the universe, and where it's all going. And by the way, while they're at it, have them throw in a few things about how they think it's all going to end. Then you collect all their information. Oh, by the way, you have to separate these authors that you've found so they cannot communicate with each other. Not phone, not text, not MySpace, not anything. Oh, possibly word of mouth. Oh, one more thing. That word of mouth would have to be passed down over the years. One thing I forgot to mention. I'm talking about over 1,500 years. And okay, so they can maybe pass this down through like 1,500 years. Take a look at what you might have at the end of that time period. A literal mess and hodgepodge. Let me ask you a question. How many think you would get a biology book written from 60 years ago and one written from today and find same perspective? Major differences. Our Bible has a unity. 40 authors and one author. 66 books, but one book. It accurately predicts the future. There are 3,856 verses directly or indirectly concerned with prophecy in the Bible, and one in six verses foretell future events. Literally, just like it was foretold, the destruction of the city named Tyre, or Edom, or the invasion of Jerusalem, the fall of Babylon, the fall of Rome. Each accurately predicted in the Bible and fulfilled to the smallest details. How about Cyrus, King Cyrus? You ever hear of Cyrus? 150 years before Cyrus was even on the scene, God told Israel prophetically, and you're going into Babylon, and then, or you're going into captivity, and then this king named Cyrus is going to set you free. 150 years later, fulfilled right down to the detail. Now, Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies. Hang in here with me. We're almost done. Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies when he came. This is absolutely fantastic, especially if I get the right transparency for you. He fulfilled 300 prophecies. Let's see. Let me do this here. By the laws of chance, can you see that? Okay, good. All right, let me just tell it to you, even if you can't see it all. By the law of chance, the conservative odds of Jesus even fulfilling 48, he fulfilled 300 prophecies. By the law of chance, Jesus even fulfilling 48 prophecies being fulfilled by one man are 10 with 157 zeros after it. Are you with me? 10 with 157 zeros after it for Jesus, or one man fulfilling 48 prophecies. Now hang in there with me. Okay? Anybody ever hear of an electron? Sure. Anybody awake? Five of you. Very good. All right, an electron is so small that you line them up, it would take 2.5 quadrillion of them to equal 1 inch. All right, just hang in there. This is illustrative. 2.5 quadrillion electrons to equal 1 inch. Now, let's go back to our 10 with 157 zeros. That's the chances of one man fulfilling 48 prophecies. If you tried to put that many electrons into a big pile, it would be 10 billion times larger than the universe as we know it, which scientists have calculated our universe to be 6 billion light years across. Light years the distance for light to travel in 1 year, moving at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Now, don't let your eyes glass over too much. It's a lot, okay?
Yeah.
It's a lot. Look at me and say, Pastor Kev, that's a lot. All right. Let's, out of all of that, now, take one electron. Color it red. Stick it into the pile of electrons from 100,000 years with all the others. Then blindfold a man, send him back to pick it out the first time. That one red electron out of all of that. You think that'd be possible? Are y'all with me? That would be the same odds that one man would live and die according to only 48 of the prophecies about the Messiah if it was only an accident. And Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies. Folks, the Bible is a living book, a loving book, a literal book. In Him are the words of life. Pick up your Bible, would you please? What I want to encourage you to do this week, and let's come to a close, is when you go to the Bible with an open heart and spirit and say, Jesus, speak to me. Talk to my heart. Lord, I believe your word. Speak it to me. Let it be a living book in your life. It's alive, has power to help you, power to change you, power to help you grow. Let it be a loving book. Find out about how much more Jesus loves you than you think he does. Find out about this love relationship with him. Then let it be your literal book. Trust him. When you read it, accept his word as true. He knows what he's doing. Let's fall in love with the word of God. Amen? Let's stand. Jesus, we thank you for being so good, so great, and having such a wonderful word that gives us life. Thank you for your word being loving, being living, being literal. And in you are the words of life. We come to you this morning with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.